I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
All right, we're in the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios in New York on CBS Sports Radio. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4CBS, is brought to you by GEICO. Great news. You can save money. Switch to GEICO. Just go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on car insurance. Ray Ratto's in the Bay Area, of course. He's been on the bench many times. He's doing stuff with Deadspin. He's all over the place, TV, radio, and he's back on the bench. So tell me, when I saw when Cousins went down and they thought it was a tear and the torn quad or whatever, it was revealed that it was. I said when he went down with that quad, like, I've had that injury. It is no joke. You can't run for like 3 months at all. You can barely walk, let alone run. The minute you try to run, it like re-rips. And I just thought he was done after I saw it. All this talk about them being hopeful he can play again, you can't be serious, right, that this guy's going to play again after tearing that thing?
Well, they don't want to say, for the record, he's done, because, among other things, right now he's in a pretty vulnerable state. I mean, he spent so much time coming back from the Achilles tear,
right,
and then gets a game in 5 minutes where, now the playoff dream is done again. So the cruelest thing to do is to say, yes, a lot of people with this injury have been out for 6 months and more. So, I mean, I think they're just trying to be respectful to his feelings, and I don't blame them at all for it.
Fair enough. I never thought of it that way. So, do you think Looney and Bogut can handle the load and do the job? Because Looney played really well the other night, all things being equal. Do you think he can give them quality burn?
Well, the problem with Looney is the more you play him, his weaknesses do start to show. I mean, I don't think he's a 30-minute-a-game guy. And I don't know how long Bogut can go and be effective. But they have the kind of firepower and defensive skill without them that they can eat it at that position and still survive. The problem will come if they end up playing Houston, because Houston's suddenly bigger with both Capella and Fareed, and that can create some real havoc, which means the Warriors will have to defend fiercely everywhere else and just try to outscore people. But their defense this year, up until lately, hasn't been good, and it hasn't been consistent. And frankly, the second half of game two was awful. So it's going to take some mindset changes, but I think they can do it.
Do you think, Ray Ratto with us, that they that actually the Clippers poked the bear, and that now we're going to see, because I've seen this before where people, they said, oh, Denver's the team that can beat them, and then they go into Denver and beat the Nuggets by 40.
Well, the one thing that Game 2 gave the Clippers is a sense of belief that if they're even more ornery and more persistent, that even if they lose to the Warriors will have to expend more energy than if they had blown them out twice. The disturbing thing about Game 2, and people have tried to pick out individual players, the real problem here is that in the last 19 minutes and 30 seconds, the Warriors defended at a pace which, if you took it over 48 minutes, would give the other team 177 points. So, what they have to do basically is decide as a group that playing defense is not a part-time thing. They can bring in other players, to spell the starters, but defense cannot be the first casualty. They have to decide, and decide now, that scoring 130 is only half the job. It's keeping the other team under 100, or come as close as they can, because that's what let them down more than anything else. They simply stopped defending.
Do you think, because you've seen very few, really, games like this over the last, you know, 5 years or whatever, where they, you know, actually, well, you don't see them blow a 31-point lead, but you've seen them fail, like in the finals against the Cavs. How big is it to see them actually, like, that's the story, that it's like, it's so rare that you see them fail that it's almost shocking. People don't know what to do with it.
Well, I don't know that it's so much them failing at it. It's that they still believe, even after the evidence of the last 2 years, that teams are afraid of them based on their reputations. They can still beat the living snot out of basically any team in the league, but it won't be because the other team got scared. And the Clippers, who have every reason to be scared based on their regular season and the talent gap between the two, aren't scared. They said, you may beat us, and you may beat us soundly, but we're not gonna roll over. And I think that's the lesson that everybody's going to take from last night. It's that the Warriors may not be terribly vulnerable, but if you stay in their face for 48 minutes, they won't like it. And the more energy they have to expend is going to weigh on them later.
So, Ray Ratta with us. What do you think of the job Beverly's done on Durant and you know, getting inside his head? That he's done both. He's literally shut him down, and he's not even shooting the ball. And then he's you can't tell me he's not frustrated.
Well, I think he probably is frustrated, but he wasn't shooting the ball in the first half of Game 2 when they went ahead by 31, and he didn't shoot the ball a lot in Game 1 when they won comfortably, too. The Warriors are an ensemble, and everybody keeps forgetting that when they just stack their players up like they're dolls. The strength of the Warriors is in the fact that one of their great players can be bad for a game, or maybe even two, and the others pick them up. What the Clippers have done to Durant is basically commit Beverly and somebody else, and sometimes even two people, to make sure that Durant is never comfortable. And they can do that because they don't fear the offense from the center, which was Cousins and is now, you know, downgraded from that, or Draymond Green. So basically the Warriors have to make it so difficult for the Clippers to help on Durant that he starts to get looks, because one-on-one, he can deal with Patrick Beverly. Patrick Beverly is a very good defender, but in a one-on-one game, Durant eats him alive. So basically what the Warriors have to do is make the Clippers respect everybody else. And they respect Curry and they respect Thompson, but they don't respect Green or the center offensively. So that's basically what they have to do. They have to figure out a way so that Durant, you know, will get space, because if they're getting killed everywhere else, the Clippers can no longer help on Durant.
Let me ask you, do you, because, you know, we're here in New York, it's very important for us. Is this guy really going to come play for the Knicks, Durant? Do you really think that's going to happen? Why would he leave that great team and that city and that new arena and the legacy that they got going right now, the dynasty that they're in the middle of? I don't care what you want to do. Save the world, be the only player on the team, be the marquee headliner. I wouldn't leave that situation if I was the worst player on the team. As long as they'd have me, I'd stay there.
Well, but, you know, LeBron James went from a going concern in Cleveland to a budding tire fire in Los Angeles, and that only became worse. But LeBron would make that move 100 times because he's looking past basketball. Basketball is not the only motivation for these guys. I mean, they love the game. The game has given them everything they have to date.
Now they're all movie stars.
No, but they know that come 33 or 34 or 35, there's no more game. And they're not going to get – they're not interested in being a coach or a general manager. They either want to own a team, which is highly unlikely given the way that valuations have spiked, or they become moguls in other businesses. So, you know, for Durant – and I don't want to psychoanalyze him because I don't know him well enough to even try, but – there must be other things that drive him than winning another title. Because going from Golden State to New York just to use your question, he has to leave money on the table up front, and then he has to reconstruct what is basically the worst team in the Eastern Conference. And, you know, how do you do that? I mean, others have tried and failed spectacularly. I mean, the Knicks are a god-awful franchise.
Right.
And, you know, so it takes an extraordinary amount of self-belief or desire to be, you know, worshipped to take on that task. Because, I mean, it just leaves you Patrick Ewing tried and couldn't do it. And Patrick Ewing was a phenomenal player. So, you know, what he's doing is he's rolling the dice. And it's a really big pair of dice. But he's rolling the dice that he can be the guy who can defy gravity and in doing so be considered the next generational player, like LeBron was, like Kobe was, like Michael Jordan was. So, I mean, I think it's partially a play for the legacy, but I think it's also the weird challenge of doing the undoable.
Do you think that Antonio Brown will be as much of a diva, prima donna, narcissist as he was in Pittsburgh with the Raiders?
I honestly couldn't tell you, but I think the greater danger is that he will get frustrated by the losing because the Raiders are awful. And getting a look at how their schedule, was laid out for them today, it's clear that the NFL, you know, wasn't concerned with their competitiveness. I mean, they wanted to lighten any contact in big moments with the fact that they're leaving Oakland. I mean, they don't play in their home stadium for six straight weeks. You know, their last home game is in week 15 against Jacksonville. I mean, it's almost as if, having recognized that this is not going to be a pretty end, the league wanted to make them as invisible as they possibly could. And it's a brutal schedule. Even if the team was decent, which the team is not, I mean, this team is still 2 years away from undoing the damage of the last decade plus. And I just think it's, you know, he might get more frustrated by the fact that they're not a factor than anything else. I don't know whether that will make him a diva, but I think it will frustrate the hell out of him because there aren't going to be many meaningful games in this last year.
So last question, the Sharks are in big trouble, it would look like, to most people, the way the Vegas Golden Knights are scoring on them. I think 16-6 in the last three games. Do you think they're dead?
Well, they're coughing up blood. They're, you know, it's they don't look fast enough. They don't look skilled enough, which seems crazy. And, you know, part of that is they've been injured. You know, Erik Karlsson still isn't right. They just came off the Thornton suspension, and their goaltending has been horrific. So I think in all likelihood they are, but the best way to get God to laugh at you is to predict a single Stanley Cup playoff game. I could see them winning game five, but I don't see them winning game six.
All right, Ray, great stuff as always. Thanks for coming on the bench, brother. I enjoyed it.
Well, you'll think about that later and feel differently.
Thank you very much. Ray Ratto, always with a quick jab at the end when he does the interviews. What did he say to me one night? Stay dry or something? There's a lot of that going on.
He did say that to you once.
Right?
You're like, all right, Ray, see? He's like, stay dry.
Stay dry, he told me. Said, I've been dry before and it didn't go well. Gotta be honest. Mafia said I was never a very nice dry drunk, but these things happen. 855-212-4227. Apparently Mafia now telling me I'm up against it, apparently, in here. Do I really have to follow some kind of guidelines or something?
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
Has anyone seen the Jager Schlager commercial where the chick's like pouring shots of Jager for the guy at the bar and he's got like rotted teeth? Have you seen that? Have you seen the guy at the end smile at the chick at the bar and he's got like rotted teeth?
I don't think I've seen that one.
I mean, it's bad, bro. Where did they find this guy at the bar? Did they legitimately get some homeless dude off the street to go in and have a shot of Jaeger? Mafia wants to pour everybody a Jager Schlager Shaggy. Listen for it. There it was. I saw, did you see Blake Griffin tonight? Got another technical on the bench. Two games in a row, two techs as a non-playing member of the franchise. Just sitting on the bench getting techs. I love it. Nothing like costing your team a few free throws. Hey, Mafia, how'd you think the Pharrell Ballers shot free throws tonight besides me?
Absolutely terrible.
It was embarrassing.
It was.
But we won.
We did. We would have won by like 10 if we actually hit some free throws.
Yeah, we would have won by a lot bigger than 3 if we hit the free throws. But we did win, and we were down 12 at the half, right?
Yeah, and we're down something like 16 or 18 the first half.
They were kicking our ass.
They were.
How in God's name did we win that game? Oh, we held them scoreless for 12 minutes. That did it.
Shut them down defensively after the break.
Nice. I love that. Did you like that offensive rebound I got at the end on your free throw miss?
Very clutch. That was huge.
End of the game. What was that, 6 seconds left? And I got it with 3, and I went into the corner, and they fouled me, and then hit the free throw. But I – that was off of your mess. You know what I did? The guy asked me, you know what he said? He said, I cheated. Did you hear him afterwards? Like,
yeah, he was complaining.
And I said,
he did that a couple of times, winding up when guys got offensive rebounds off the free throws.
Right. So I, what I really did was I just pushed him out of the way and went for it. You know what I mean? I just totally dive bombed the paint, and I just dove at the basket, and I got the loose ball off of the rim, and I got the rebound. It was a huge rebound. Because we kept missing free throws, and they kept getting back in the game. And they were down 4-6. They'd be down 2-1. It was crazy. That was like a one-point game the whole last 5 minutes. And we somehow pulled it off.
It was within a basket for like the whole last 5 minutes, like you said, especially when we were get hit one to make, you know, at a two-point lead, but never hit the one to make the 3 or the 4. We could never extend it to, you know, the two-basket lead where we had a little bit of breathing room. We just kept it right there the whole time in the danger zone.
Well, there you go. All right, so we won our first game in the spring season. Nothing like we've never taken off literally one week. Have we? Not like
no, there was 1 week off in between. That was it.
Okay, but I mean, we've never taken off one season in 6 years.
No, we've been there like 40 weeks a year.
It's crazy.
It's even more with playoffs.
We play. We play every week of the year, basically. It's crazy. We just never stop playing basketball. It really is crazy. I have to say, Carver High, that your boy tonight, Mike Smith, I've talked about him frequently. He's the player of the night tonight on the bench.
He's been outstanding for them. He is what I believe to be their weakest link. He had a horrible game 3 in Colorado, and he's come out tonight, and he's played really well.
I mean, he's had some staggering saves. He finally gave up a goal to Confer, made it 2-1. So they're up 2-1 here. He
going
scored
to the third.
8 minutes into the third. They finally got a goal, but he's made, am I wrong? He has made 41 saves tonight. He's got a 97% save percentage. How about that?
Playing really well. He, like, you know, this is, he stole them a game early in the series. He played great. I think it was game 1. Avalanche have won the last 2. They've lit the lamp a lot. He's coming back strong tonight. They need it. And he's got to finish it off, though.
Did you see Tkachuk's family in the crowd rooting for their son and brother? I think the other Tkachuk kid was there at the game.
Brady?
Yeah, he was there rooting on, what's this one's name, Matt Tkachuk?
Yes, Matt plays for Calgary.
And what about his dad, Keith Tkachuk? Excuse me.
One of the all-time great U.S. players.
Tkachuk. Oh, excuse me. Tkachuk. Excuse me. Sorry. Lindholm and Ryan with the goals tonight for the Flames. They lead 2-1 with 5 minutes left. You think the Flames will finish it off with Mike Smith, or will they blow it and go to overtime? Because, as you know, I bet on the Flames tonight, Carver. I bet on the Bruins on the road, Stars at home. I'm going for another 3-0 night. If you remember earlier this week, I think on Monday night I was perfect as well. So I'm going for my second perfect night in the NHL playoffs again tonight. We'll see if that happens. Look at some of those saves he's made tonight.
He's made some unbelievable
saves. I mean, some just staggering saves.
But Colorado's been peppering him. You said, what, 40-plus saves already for him?
41.
So you know they're going to be bringing it here these last few minutes.
5.5 minutes seems like a lifetime, if you ask me. If I'm Calgary, it's a lifetime. If I'm Colorado, it's the clock's just...
And you know that Colorado, for most of this 5 minutes, they're just going to try to keep getting McKinnon out there as much as they can, so...
Keep an eye on Lindholm. He's already got one. Or that's for Calgary. You're right. So none of the big guns for Rotto have been able to do anything, right? It's crazy. So I'm watching this game. And then the NBA, I have to say, is it just me or, like, we have to finally just admit it, right? Like, that the games, like, literally tonight were terrible.
We do this every year.
And then, let's see, last night's games
the best game
were
was,
terrible.
What, the best game so far started absolutely terrible, which was the Clipper-Warrior game where the Clippers stormed back.
That was the best game. That was the only good game this week. And what's tonight? Wednesday night? There's been
right. Since the weekend, Monday, Tuesday, and now Wednesday night,
one
all the games
game.
Have been awful.
There's been nine games, and
last night,
I mean, there's been eight games, and seven of them have been awful.
Last night, we thought we were going to get a good one, Portland and OKC at halftime tied, and then Portland whacked them around in the second
so
half.
So tomorrow night, it's the Sixers and Nets. Who do you like there?
I don't know. I think if the Nets are ever if the Nets are going to stay in this series, they have to get tomorrow night. I think if the Sixers win tomorrow,
another save.
It's going to be over in five.
Oh, so if the Sixers win, it'll be over in five.
I think that tomorrow is the Nets' chance to stand here, is tomorrow night at home.
He made another huge save, Smith. I can't get enough of this guy right now, the way he's playing. He really is. You know what this reminds me of? This is one of those games where Carver High, the goalie, is the only story.
Steals you the game.
It's literally the whole thing's about him. The entire night, when this game's over, if they win 2-1, they will talk about the performance he had in goal because it was the premier goalie performance in the Stanley Cup playoffs so far this year. You cannot even come close to what I've seen tonight in terms of the saves this guy's made.
No, he's been great.
I mean, it's been the best like performance by any goalie in any game. Is that correct?
Yeah, probably you could say that.
Without a doubt. I don't even think it's close. And look at this save he made. Honk. That's huge with a guy with an absolute open shot at the net. And he made that chest blocker save with his body. Are you kidding me? And he's made a bunch of them. He's made diving saves tonight. Crazy stuff. It is kooky stuff over here.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
Mavi, I got to tell you, you know, that big guy we went up against tonight was pretty tough. I couldn't move him at all. Like, he was very, I mean, physical as hell. Like, he was a monster. And I know you dealt with him the whole game. He guarded me a couple times, and I tried to, like, you know, get position on him or block him out on either end of the floor, and he was having none of it. He was huge. He was strong as an ox.
Yeah, he's very tough. Not as tall as you and I, just slightly under, but definitely built pretty strong. It was hard to move. I got position on him a few times, but just couldn't do much with it.
I don't think he had any basketball skill.
No, he was just a big body that just was a bruiser.
A bruiser, for sure. A big physical problem in the paint at both ends of the floor, but he couldn't shoot or handle the ball or anything.
Right. I was letting him do whatever he wanted on offense because
right.
I wasn't afraid of him.
Because he couldn't hit.
I was more worried about their other guys and helping out with them than worrying about where he was.
We held that kid there. He's a 25-a-game guy. We held him to 18. He only had 18. He hit all his shots in the first half.
He did. I mean, I was joking with him at halftime. Like, could you miss one? He's like, I think I did. I'm like, yeah, what, one of 12 you miss? Like, how about you miss one every now and then? And then went a little cold in the second half there for us.
When it mattered, he couldn't hit the broadside of a barn.
No, we got in his face, made him move off his spot a lot more in the second half instead of letting him get the easy shots in transition, and it worked out well for us.
So Spurs-Nuggets tomorrow, Mafia, in San Antonio, and they're laying three and a half in most houses in Vegas. Did you think – I thought they blew game two. They should have won both games in Denver, but Murray had a huge fourth quarter, 21 points, and Denver stole the game. What do you think happens on the Riverwalk now in game three and four?
I agree with you. I think they absolutely blew game two. I thought they had that well in hand. They were in control of it, and then they let Denver chip away, and then take over in the end there. I don't know if they just ran out of gas up there or what was going on, but now they're going home. I think they're going to play much better, you know, which is saying a lot considering how well they played in Denver in both those games. I think they're going to be in control of that one.
So Clippers and Warriors, do you give the Clippers a shot at home?
No, I don't. I think, like you said, everyone's going to be, you know, poking at the Warriors from yesterday and today and, you know, even up until that game, they're going to be rehashing that historic comeback. They're going to be pissed going into that game, and they want to prove a point.
So, Carver, who do you like in the Spurs-Nuggets game and the Warriors-Clippers?
I like the Spurs to win. I like them for the series. I'm going to stick with them here.
Right.
And I'm all around. Warriors are going to smoke the Clippers tomorrow night. Smoke them.
Smoke them like a cigar.
What's the line in that game?
8.5.
Smoke them.
Lay it. Run to the window.
Already there.
Carver High's so confident in the Warriors tomorrow that he's not even waiting for tomorrow. He's already bet them.
I'm already doing it now.
He's doing it now. He's already got action on the table on the Warriors in game 3. So that'll all be happening. And then let me be clear, now that some of those playoff series are over on Thursday, there's actually 3 more. Caps, Canes, Blues, Jets, Knights, Sharks in San Jose. My question to you is this. I asked Ray Ratto, I'll ask you the same question. Are the Sharks done?
Yes.
So the Vegas wins it tomorrow. I think they will.
I think they will too, yeah.
I don't know how they stop them.
I think that Vegas finishes off the Sharks.
And then they get rid of that goalie. They can't stop anything.
Jones has had a really rough time. And I think that the it's game 5 for Blues and Jets also. They're tied 2-2 going back to the peg, right? That's
the road
team has won all 4 games
but
in that series.
I don't think that's going to continue.
No, I think Winnipeg at home tomorrow night.
I got to tell you, going back to this Smith thing, I know I've beat a dead horse. We actually have footage of that, which is interesting. I think the fans are going to enjoy this. If you listen closely, you'll be able to tell at some point that we've been able to beat a dead horse. No animals were harmed in the taping of this segment. Unequivocally, no animals were harmed. That was actually Ed the horse, who we had taped this years ago in a studio in Manhattan, which is very horse-acceptable. You're able to bring a horse there and do audio clips.
Just all acting. We got the guy who played Mr. Ed to
right.
come in
That's
and
right.
do a little reading for us.
That's right, because we would never do anything here to harm an animal. As you know, Mafia, my New Year's resolution this year, do you remember what it was?
To be nicer to your dog?
Yes. And I've done that. I have been extremely nice. Because I have a dog, very much of a leader of old dogs. Go ahead. So when I walk my dog, you know the deal at the end of the driveway, there's a newspaper always, and I grab it. And then the dog has the leash. He likes to carry the leash by himself at the end. In the front yard, right? He likes to play this game with me. And then when I pick up the paper, he likes to play attack. So he attacks me. And, I mean, he literally attacks me. Full on, 120 pounds, comes at me like a German Shepherd at at the police academy with the guy with the, you know, the arm sleeve.
The foam suit?
Yeah. So instead, I don't have the foam suit on. All I do is I smash him in the face with a newspaper. And he likes it. I mean, I'm not even kidding. As Mafia, the dog gets off on it. He's like, hit me. Hit me again. Go ahead. And then I hit him 100 miles an hour, and he's like, and he just keeps biting me. I mean, he tries to bite my arm off.
Dog's been around too often when you're watching Billions.
But then when he walks up to the garage door and he's ready to go inside, he like licks me like I'm his best friend. I'm beating him with a paper, and then he's like, literally, but not hard. It's all a joke. It's like a slap in the face. And then the dog tries to bite my arm off and hand. And then we go inside, and he's like my best friend, and he takes a nap with me. He, like, jumps up on the bed with me, 120 pounds. In fact, the dog's so fat now and huge, he can't even jump on the bed. He's got, like, a blown-out ACL in his knee. So now I have to lift him up onto the bed, Carver High, as you know. It's a problem. Try lifting 120 pounds up off the ground and putting it up on your bed. See how much fun you have doing that. I'm not a big fan of deadlifting at the gym either, seeing how much weight I can lift. Did you see the guy, the mountain guy on Game of Thrones when they did the E60 on him as the strong man, strongest man in the world? Did you ever see that guy?
Yes, I did see that.
It was pretty cool.
The mountain.
The mountain. It was pretty cool, right? So are you telling me that he got that whole, like, I need to know, because I'm not making fun of it at all, but he got, like, did he get Bell's palsy by stress, or did he get it by lifting, like, an aneurysm or something?
I remember watching it, but I don't remember that.
Remember he had, like, the right side of his face is all, like, but did you, like, I wondered if, like, he, I always wondered when I saw it if he had, like, blown a vessel or something, like lifting weights.
I'm not sure.
You know what I mean? Like burst a vessel and then your
I guess it's possible when you're doing that stuff.
You know what I mean? Like an aneurysm and then the whole side of your face droops. I wouldn't wish that on anyone except some of the people that I don't like. Which is, what is it now, Mafia, up to 7 million people that I don't like?
And growing every day.
It is growing every day. Rob in Michigan, you're on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, Scott, good to talk to you again. My girlfriend wouldn't answer, so I thought I'd call you.
You know, that's a great idea. Most chicks blow you off at this hour. You should call Pharrell. Should I got a...
Yeah, you're great, man. Hey, I got two things for you.
Yeah.
The first one is, I think MLB is lazy. I live in Michigan, and everybody in the country, 76 games against the same teams, so you only get 86 against the rest of the league. That is so lazy in MLB scheduling.
I don't disagree with you. I think playing your divisional rivals 19 times, frankly, to me is pathetic. I actually see no purpose in that whatsoever. Now, I get it, Carver High. You play to win your division. I get it. But I think you could, like, I honestly think they could shave 7 games off and play, 12.
And I think now with the introduction of the past few years of the second wild card where you have two teams that basically, you know, they're coming in from the whole league.
Right.
And let's say you have a year where, like last year, there's years where you have one good team in one division or two, and then they just feast on the other three teams for 19 games apiece, and that's
right.
A big advantage when you get down to wild card time.
I think it's a terrible advantage.
Right.
Like, allegedly, if you were in, the Rays, let's say, last year won all these games, 90 games with that cash and that wild bullpen usage they had and everything else. But meanwhile, the Yankees couldn't beat the Orioles.
Right.
But they could beat up on the Blue Jays. And but no one else really got stomped in that.
No,
division.
I mean last year isn't. Listen, if I went back and looked at every year since the second wild card, I'm sure that I could find good examples. Last year in the AL, not one of the best ones because there was only 5 good teams in the American League last year, and the rest were all awful. So there are years that in both leagues where it probably has been an advantage.
Can you explain to me in some capacity what is wrong with the Boston Red Sox? Because they are 7 games under 500. They are, 3-10 away. They lost 2 in a row in the Bronx. They have given up 119 runs, minus 42. They've lost 3 in a row, and they've won 4-10. They're terrible. Betts has been terrible. I think that's a big problem, that he's not getting on base and scoring runs. And Sale's been awful. I don't understand. Is that it?
I think there's a couple things that factor here, and it is still early. We know that. But a few things for me is, like you said, they haven't hit at all. They haven't started hitting yet. 2, their bullpen, which was their one kind of problem last year. Like, if you thought there was a way to beat the Red Sox last year, it was that their bullpen sucked, and it really has been bad here in the first couple of weeks. And 3, look, they're the defending champs. Nobody's going to cry for them. But I feel like they've played like the entire first 3.5 weeks of the season on the road. They have played.
But they went home and lost too.
Right. But they started, didn't they start Seattle, Oakland, Arizona?
They did.
3 teams out west, came home, and now they're back on the road again.
They played 13 road games.
Right. Look, like I said, not going to cry for them, but I think they have a few reasons why this thing has kind of gotten out of control here for them.
And I don't think for one minute at all that Baltimore and Toronto will be ahead of them in a month.
No, I don't. No chance.
A month from now,
they're a good team.
A month from now, they'll be parked right with the Yankees behind the Reds, behind the Rays.
And the huge thing for them is that the Yankees have also gotten out to a bad start. So,
And what do you think of Tampa, the way they've played? And Snell broke his toe, so that's a problem.
He says he thinks he's only going to miss one start. We'll see. I guess it's going to be.
Didn't they put him on the 10-day?
They did, but if that could really go around just once, if you think about it, 5 days, and he misses a start,
right,
then comes back.
Right.
I guess that would just be a pain thing for him. I don't know which foot it was, if it's his planned foot or whatever. But the Rays have been awesome so far.
I broke a toe, right? Remember when I went to the Caribbean, I played basketball, and a kid stepped on my toe and broke my toe? I got to tell you, it took literally 6 months for it to heal. I mean, they never heal toes. I'm the resident expert on all injuries based on I've had all of them. Mafia, as you know, I've been injured a million times, and I played through everything. I played with a broken toe for 4 months, And then I played, do you remember when I dropped the weight on my other toe? So I broke two toes, my big toe and my third toe, which would be your Pharrell U finger on your toe, the middle toe, the long one.
Correct.
I actually broke both of those. And the one that I dropped the weight on, 25-pound weight, smashed my toe in and turned it black, it has never recovered. I can't bend the toe anymore at all. It's just completely paralyzed, and it's changed my foot. I told you forever. It never, never healed. I've lost all feeling in the toe for life. Second, it has to be because it's been 9 months now, and it's still, I can't feel it. And then the big toe took 6 months to heal. I literally, don't you remember when I played every night with like a broken toe, and I was like, dude, my toe's killing me.
Yeah, your foot was going numb, you were saying. I mean,
you
it's
can't
like,
run.
They used to have the graphic when Allen Iverson was playing, you know, before each game, they showed you like all the injuries he had that he was playing through at that
right.
period of time. I think they should add that for you before we do every show.
Just like a body picture of all the injuries?
Yeah, you know, all the places you have pain and injuries and
you name
strained.
It.
Yeah, we should
you name it.
Maybe we could just update it weekly on Instagram or something.
I've done everything as well. I've had you name it, I've taken it. Morphine, hydrocodone, Percocet, Vicodin, what is it? Dilaudid, heroin. Wait, are we on the air? No, I've tried everything. I've taken everything. And I can literally tell you that I've had so much pain and agony in my body that none of those things work at all. None of them. I can munch them and I don't feel any better at all.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.